It seems impossible to pray without ceasing, as St. Paul instructs us in 1 Thessalonians. But when we consider that prayer is a conversation with Christ that makes us his intimate friend, why would we not pray constantly? I'm Brian Patrick. We continue our series on the marks of the true Christian, Constant in Prayer, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we continue our series on marks of a true Christian, constant in prayer, as we kick off this show with our Crossing the Goal team, Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, the President and Founder of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our former All-Pro NFL wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. Danny, I know you're a prayer warrior. How important would you say prayer is in your faith life?
Well, we'll start with, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a chance out here mentally, physically, or spiritually. Even guys with a prayer life, it's very difficult. So we must establish a prayer life. And some guys might say, well, I don't know how to do it. You just got to make up your mind that, you know, this is what you're going to do. And the Lord, asked the Lord to teach me, and he will teach you how to pray.
So prayer is a kind of lifeline.
Yeah.
What you're saying. I mean, prayer is conversation with God, initiated by God. Prayer is God's idea. He initiated the conversation. And it's by the power of the Spirit that we're capable and able to go into deep prayer and conversation with God. We'll talk about that more in the game plan.
Yes. You know, we're looking at a number of characteristics for the Christian, and this is the issue of being constant in prayer. And I read this years before the publication of the Catechism, and then this was quoted in the Catechism. This is St. Alphonsus Liguori. This statement kind of rocked my world. He says this in Catechism 2744, "Those who pray are certainly saved." Then he goes on, "Those who do not pray are certainly damned." This is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
That would get your attention.
It got my attention.
Well, thank God most of us were taught to pray very young. I got away from prayer, but I pray now because it works. And if you need a game plan to get that prayer life going, we've got one for you with Curtis and Peter next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and our topic is constant in prayer. St. Paul joins us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, pray without ceasing. This is kind of a big deal, Peter. So why is prayer so important in the Christian life?
Well, it's a big deal, and it sounds crazy to pray without ceasing, pray at all times. How's that possible? Well, that question gets us to the heart of the matter, which is really, as I mentioned in the opening, that prayer is something God initiates with us. In the beginning, we see in 1 John, the gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God spoke a word in His Son. He communicates Himself to us. God wants to be known. So the conversation begins, and it gets intensified in the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lives His life, dies, rises, sits at the right hand of the Father, and He pours out His Spirit, the promise of the Father, and the Spirit is given to us, and we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And literally, the Spirit indwells in us. And so we can abide in the Lord. We can walk in the Lord. We can have a conversation with God because He's with us all the time. Jesus said, I'm with you always. So the conversation is possible always.
Well, and I think there's a certain sense we have to get beyond, not against. There's a certain sense where vocal prayer and the words are important, but prayer is a life of communication. I think we've all had experience where maybe we're sitting with our wives and we're not saying anything, but there's communication going on. We're expressing love just by our presence. I remember taking a son of mine out to lunch, and we are at Taco Bell, and we're having this conversation, and at a certain point in time, he probably is, you know, 6 years old at the time, and he gets up from his side of the table, and he comes over, and he sits next to me, and he said, Dad, and we're on this busy street, and he goes, Dad, could we just look at trucks for a while? And he puts his head right on my chest, and we're, you know, and that's conversation, yeah, even though there's, yeah, no words. Yeah. God wants us to abide in, yeah, his presence.
That's a great image. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit with supplication. And he talks, you know, Hebrews talks about in loud cries and tears, the Son of God cried out to the Father. So Jesus showed us in his life what it meant to walk with the Father, to be in conversation. He took times where he went away in quiet, all by himself, where he could listen to the Father, where he could be there. But he also walked each day praying with him because the Father was with him. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. With that relationship with the Father, that same Spirit is given to us in baptism and confirmation to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis.
And one of the reasons the Spirit is given to us is because we don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
But before God created any of us, before creation occurred, God, all loving, all perfect, all holy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is living in a community of persons, loving one another,
yeah,
from eternity past into all of eternity.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see, and he, in his life, which is infinitely blessed and perfect in itself,
yeah,
he then freely chooses to create us to share in that,
yeah,
amazing exchange of love.
Yeah.
And so he sends us his Spirit to come into our lives, to welcome us,
yeah,
into that type of communication.
Absolutely.
That relationship.
Yeah, and at the heart of it is Jesus wanting us to be able to see the Father, to know the Father, as you're saying, to know the Father's love. Here in Romans chapter 8, beautiful, Pat. The whole chapter is wonderful, but Paul goes on to say, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of sonship. He said, I've given you a spirit. It's the Spirit of the Son is in you. You've become a son. You have a relationship with the Father. Now, what I want you to do is to know him and to know him as your Father, and the Spirit will help you do that. He goes on to say here very clearly, he says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness to our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. So what Paul is telling us is the Spirit that Jesus has given to us speaks to our spirit, giving us conviction and confidence that we're sons and daughters of God, and the Spirit himself cries out in us, Abba, Father. And that's where prayer begins. And we know there's all kinds of ways we pray. Vocal prayer, meditation, contemplation, supplication, thanksgiving, praise, praying in tongues. There's a whole set of things. And the Spirit leads us to do all those things as we walk with the Lord and abide in him.
No, the community of persons that is the Blessed Trinity is an amazing thing. You can almost have a sense that God the Son is sitting back saying, I have this desperate desire to share knowledge of my Father.
Absolutely.
With my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So much so that I would leave heaven. I would empty myself of the power of my divinity to go be with them. And if that's not enough, when I die and I ascend into heaven, I will send my Spirit, who also wants to, yeah, share the knowledge of the Father. And we, as sons of the same Father, filled with the same Spirit, need to have that same desire to be united with the Father. Look at all, yeah, that God has done to bring about that union.
That union is the source of what Pope John Paul II said, the secret to vital Christian life is this mutual abiding between us and the Spirit, in the Spirit with the Father and the Son. And he said that's expressed both in personal prayer, but also in the liturgical and corporate worship of the church. So it's important to have both, to be drawn into the communion that together is sharing in the communion of the relationship between the Father and the Son.
We got to learn how to pray.
Yeah.
Brian?
All right, thanks. Curtis and Peter. Well, Coach, it's pretty clear to me that we don't have a prayer without a prayer life.
I pray for these guys all the time.
Yeah. I'll join you. And I pray that you and I can make it down to the steps into the red zone. Next.
Me too, Brian.
We have moved to the red zone now on Crossing the Goal, Constant in Prayer, this show in our series on Marks of the True Christian. And Peter, we really need to develop a pattern of prayer, don't we?
Yeah, it is really true. I think the key in all our lives, in some ways, came to the point where we decided we need to pray every single day. You just aren't going to grow in the Lord without it. It's as the Holy Father said, it is the secret to a vital Christian life. And I think a lot of what we see out there where people just feel like my spiritual life is going nowhere, it's kind of dull, I don't know God, He's not involved in my life. Oftentimes it's related to the fact that people aren't praying. Not always, but often.
Right. And I think that there's a way to start praying. You know, guys say, well, how do I do this and what do I do? Well, first of all, you have to commit to prayer. If you don't commit, you're not going to stay with it. Secondly, set aside a time that you're going to pray. Thirdly, find a place. It could be in a big chair, in one of your comfortable chairs in a room, or in your bedroom, or at the office, or driving in, something like that. Then the format for prayer, you know, we have Our Father, Hail Mary, but as these guys so adaptly put it, is it's conversation with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life that I have. Please help me. You know, that type of prayer. Conversation. Lord, I'm aggravated right now. Mm-hmm. You know, please help me with this. I don't feel you in my life. Yeah. This type of prayer. And then, of course, there's forms using scriptures, and you can grow in prayer. This isn't like a start off and you're going to pray an hour a day and all that kind of, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I'm curious to each one of you guys what your pattern of prayer is, but I do want to point out that it didn't start here, okay? You've got to start small and grow. So as you listen to the prayer patterns of these gentlemen, think about that you have to start small and grow. Coach, you want to start with, how do you pray on a daily basis?
I know that this I built up to this, and I have a little more time than a lot of these guys.
A lot more time.
With my grandkids, take up a lot of time though. I pray when I wake up in the morning. The first thing that I do is get to thank the Lord, and I'll do a little stretch, and then I go to Mass in the morning early, 6:30 Mass, and then I come back and I pray for an hour and a half. On the weekends, my wife and I pray longer than that. But it didn't happen that way. It just started, and I never really had a solid prayer life. And then as you mentioned, as you grow, that prayer, and then you find out, no, I need it. I absolutely, all of us need it. We just don't realize it. But then when we start praying, it's like if we ever miss, it's like, wow. I mean, I need prayer in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Curtis, you've got a lot of children in the house. I would imagine your pattern's a little different. It is. I would say, you know, we started early on in college. It was 10 to 15 minutes. I would take the New Testament and I would read, and I would just, you know, something would strike me and then I'd put the book down. The New Testament was an opportunity to come to the person of Christ. And then when something struck me, put it down and then enter into conversation with him. Lord, what were you thinking when you met that woman in adultery? What was her facial expression like? What was that like? And just kind of go through and meet him where he was. And then as I grew my faith, at that time I was not practicing the Catholic faith. I came back, so then I started going to daily Mass. And again, these were incremental things that got added in. It's like working out. If you go out and try to lift 500 pounds right away, kill you. But you gain strength by starting and committing. And so, at this point in time, my wife and I get up in the morning and we have some quiet time together in the morning. And then either head off to Mass, depending on my schedule, or I'll have Mass later in the day at the office. I'm blessed with a Catholic organization, so 3 days a week we have Mass at the office. And then I will go through the day, and then in the afternoon I meet with my team, my executive team for Focus, and at 3:00 we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for 10 minutes or so, and then we have a half an hour of mental prayer, which is just, again, quiet time. That 10 to 15 minutes has grown into 30 minutes. And that's kind of the basis of my prayer. We try to pray the family rosary in the evening after dinner, and just trying to connect in different ways. And again, these are all practices, as you said, they become like working out or eating well. They become the strength of the Christian life. So that those are very important.
And I'm glad to see you've increased your bench press up to 15 pounds now.
That's
good that he's doing that.
Yeah, it's actually 13.5, but a little at a time.
Peter? Yeah, don't cut him short. Yeah, let's see. When I started, I began with 10 hours. That's what I mean. For like 10 minutes, but no, I mean, what I do now, I mean, as you say, we grow. What I do now is early in the morning, I get up, I don't know, 6:00, something like that. And for me, especially the last couple of years, praying with the scripture has been huge. You know, there's a kind of a pattern that I learned from a priest, Father Francis Martin, years ago. He said, you know, when you sit down trying to figure out what to do in prayer, he says, begin always with thanksgiving. So take a few minutes and pray. And sometimes, sometimes, you know, what we want to do in prayer is God is with us and God wants to initiate, and we're not supposed to just check things off, as it were, but we want to be able to yield to the Spirit. Paul said, pray at all times in the Spirit. So occasionally, what'll happen is just give thanks. I just feel inspired, and I might even sing a song. I might, you know, just in my living room by myself, something like that. I might feel inspired to get on my knees or something like that. But most days, it doesn't always happen like that. But, you know, so thanksgiving, and then to take some time and meditate on the Word as you were describing it, a little Lectio Divina.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the Magnificat, the daily readings. I love using the Magnificat that you can, you know, you do the daily readings and pray through all that. It helps me. And then
and there's prayers in the beginning of it, too.
Yeah,
and then
there's the Psalms. You read those Psalms and all that kind of stuff. And then afterwards, I might do a prayer of intercession, praying for people's needs, family members and folks like that, you know. And then try to listen to the, just try to listen to the Lord. What's your word for me today, Lord? Here I am today. And often that's sort of how the pattern works. And some days it'll be an hour. Sometimes it'll go to an hour and 45 minutes. Some days I get interrupted and it goes 20 minutes, you know. But the challenge for us, I think, is to do what Paul says. Pray unceasingly. Walk with the Lord. That's the challenge in my life, is to remember the Lord's with me all the time. And to, you know.
My alarm goes off at 3:30 a.m.
You are sick, man.
Well, I have to do the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. And what happens is, as soon as my mind starts to function, I try to say the name of Jesus just while I'm laying there in bed. The next step is roll out of bed onto my knees before I ever hit my feet, onto my knees. And at that point, I pray that I get to the bathroom. You know, and just get
very
ready.
Very practical.
You know, and I just ask God that everything I do, everything I say, and everything I think would be a prayer to honor and glorify His name. And then I am blessed because I work at a Catholic shrine, Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Center. We have a 24-hour adoration chapel just down the hall from our studios at Sacred Heart Radio. So once I get the show prepared, I get to go down to the adoration chapel for about 15 minutes and just really get quiet. That's when I really try to listen. Say, Lord, what do you have for me today? And I often say to him, Lord, I have no idea why you have me here, but I trust that you'll give me what I need to do this job. Right. And then I do my radio show. And part of the radio show, the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN, is prayer. We start every hour in prayer. We talk about the daily scriptures. And by the way, I have the Magnificat on my iPhone. There's an app that they put out so I can just read it on my iPhone.
You're like a hipster, man. You are right up in
there. I have some young producers who have taught me how to do all this stuff because I just recently got an iPhone. But I try throughout the day, especially when there's tribulation, as we've discussed in past shows, where I'm starting to feel irritated or disconnected, I try to just stop for a moment and say, Lord, please help me.
Yes.
You know, just a simple prayer like that. And then my favorite prayer is for my children, their husbands, their marriages, their children, my grandchildren, and I ask the Lord to use me to bring them to Him. Because I feel that's my life right now. It's all about that.
And you guys said two key things in there is listen to God. Yeah. What happens is a lot of people say to me, Curtis, I don't hear God, you know, how can God speak to you when you're talking all the time? You know, a lot of times, Lord, you remember my kids, you remember my grandkids, you remember this, you remember that. Because I used to tell him that stuff, why didn't you answer? Finally, one day, in the quietness, he spoke to me, Danny, shut up.
Yeah.
I can't get a word in edgewise.
He said that to you?
In Polish?
Basically.
In Polish.
And what happened is, it's a truth that we have to start praying. And then stop. And just listen.
Absolutely.
Listen to the Lord, and He'll speak, not into your head, into your heart. Mm-hmm. And we have to know this, guys, and you know this. The devil, when we make a commitment to start praying, he attacks twice as hard, because he knows if we get this line of communication going with him, that he's in trouble.
Yeah.
That he doesn't like prayer.
Our prayer together has been great. You know, as a team, I think one of the things we do always, we get together, we pray before shows, after shows, we do rosary, we walk every day, we pray the rosary, we do the Divine Mercy, which are wonderful ways to pray. And being able to pray together as brothers is another way to walk and pray unceasingly.
You know, I would say those are the two key things for us with college students, is to get people to pray and to find godly friends who will encourage them in their Christian walk. Those two together, now you're on your way. If you miss one of those, it's really hard to get to the next level in the spiritual life. Yeah.
These guys are prayer warriors, but again, I remind you, we didn't start there. I started with the Our Father. When I came back to a life of prayer, all I could say was the Our Father over and over again. And I'd like to close this segment praying that with you guys, if you would.
Be great.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
That's a perfect prayer. That's what Jesus taught the apostles when they said,
absolutely,
teach us how to pray. Yep. Constant in Prayer. We'll get the last word from the End Zone next. Also dig into our email bag here on Crossing the Goal. End Zone now on Crossing the Goal in our series on Marks of the True Christian. We're talking about constant in prayer, and we'll get to the last word on that from our team members. But first, let's go to our email bag all the way to Dublin, Ireland. And Declan says, I'm a 50-year-old practicing Catholic, a father of two teenagers, separated for 10 years. What type of relationship should I have with women? Well, Declan, I'd suggest you treat women as your sisters in Christ. That's what I do.
You know, Brian, I think that's a great point, but I would want to broaden it and say, you know, Declan, that's not just for Declan. All men should be treating women as their sisters in Christ. I mean, you get one wife, that's it. And so other than that, all of them, and in fact, a fundamental aspect of my relationship with Michael Ann is still to treat her as a sister in Christ. I need to honor her, care for her, respect her. And that's true for all of us. And if we get there, we're going to be in a really good place.
It's helpful to remember at all times that every woman is a daughter of God. I mean, God is their father. Treat him that way.
Yeah. And Danny, here's one that you and I might be able to help a little bit with. Shirley writes, I've been praying for my son for years who is an alcoholic, and we have helped him all we can. He has lost everything, including his family, and I don't know what to do anymore for him. I need help or some support. Well, Shirley, you can certainly get support in Al-Anon. That's a program, a 12-step program for the family members of alcoholics. And one thing I'd suggest is that you continue to pray for him and allow him to have the consequences of his choices.
In other words, don't enable him.
Yeah.
Let him go through it. He's got to hit bottom, and some people's bottoms are here, some are here, some are here. You just got to pray and lift him up to the Lord.
Yeah, only if you have those consequences,
yes,
will you truly seek some change. All right, the last word on constant in prayer. Let's go first to Peter Herbeck.
Thanks, Brian. Just want to say that, remember that the heart of prayer is the gift of the Holy Spirit revealing to you and I within our hearts, giving us conviction that we're sons and daughters of God, that God is our Father. He knows us and He loves us.
Great word. I want to encourage you. I know that many, many men struggle with prayer. We're not as wired relationally as our wives and our sisters and our moms, and it's tough. I want to encourage you to pick up a Bible, a New Testament, preferably beginning with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of the Gospels, something that we're familiar with, and open it up. If you don't know, call a Catholic priest, find somebody who can help you get a Bible, and just open it up and begin to read. You're going to feel a little uncomfortable at first, but ask God, say, look, I need help here to pray. And then ask Him to meet you in the Scriptures. Give Him 5-10 minutes of your time, maybe even 15 minutes, and allow yourself to be quiet with Him. He'll begin to change your life.
And guys, to start off with, just ask the Lord to really help you to pray. Teach me to pray. Show me the time to pray. We talked about time, place, commit to it, and then the Lord will just lead you along that path. But you got to take the first step and commit to prayer.
All right, thanks, Coach, and Curtis, and Peter. And you can have Crossing the Goal actually come to your town. Did you know that? We have conferences that we put on all across the country. Go to our website for information, crossingthegoal.com. Next time on Crossing the Goal, we are going to continue with our series on Marks of the True Christian with Vengeance is Mine. Not really mine. I'm quoting God there. God says, Vengeance is Mine. Next on Crossing the Goal.